All right. There they come. Hello,
Hello.
everybody.
Oh my gosh, here comes everybody. This is so great. Hello. So nice to see everyone. I'm going to put the Zoom chat to the side. Hey, Annette, number one, here she goes. Hi, Annette. Nice to see you. Hey, and there's Kathy, Carol Burns,
Hi,
Sandy,
Sandy.
Jane. Jan Dawson, Gregory Perkins, Mary Elizabeth Babcock, Nicole
I think
Sanguinetti.
I know her.
I do too. Our tarot specialist, Sharon Hebert, Jeanette. Oh, Sharon, I found out who your brother is, Sharon. Oh my gosh. I know, I had no idea that our Brad in the Dream Quest Mastermind is your brother.
He is a sweet man, very sweet guy, for
Yeah.
sure.
We're all magical
There's
roses.
Anna.
Anna's giving me a hug. I can feel it. Look at her little witch's hat. I love it.
It makes me
Oh,
laugh.
everybody's calling out Anna now, right?
It's
This
great.
is so great. Tonight is break week, right? So, oh, hey, Laura Lewis. It's a first live call for you. Nice to see you here. There's Alicia Nardo, Connie, Debbie, Cincinnati. Brenda Mary, hey Brenda, Tara Kay. Look at, see how her name is spelled Tara Kay? I thought she was Tarek.
All the time I do that with her. I know.
Want to look at her and go, hello,
We're
Tarek.
sorry, Tara Keg.
Yeah, Tara Kay, there's Sammy Stroh. Oh, it's so great to be here tonight. I can't tell you how looking forward. I love these calls so much, don't you, Doug?
I do very much. And I am, it's funny. I always feel like it's kind of where in the world is Carmen San Diego with me when I'm on these calls? Like, which country am I in? I'm in Mill Valley, California today. So, looking over some redwoods. So, those of you that are nearby, sending my love to you guys that are close by and just want to say hi. But yeah, it's been a good week this week.
Yeah, and I do want to say a shout out. I don't know how many of you live in Alabama. I know there's been a terrible storm there, and we really want to make it an acknowledgement and also for the people in the fires. So I know that some of you have been posting in the Shared Wisdom Room about stuff like that, and we take it down after because it's not part of the school, but we do see it and we really do care. We want to, oh, Puerto Rico, Shana Ramirez, hello. Anyway, I know, it's crazy, right? Hey, Brenda, we know. Okay, Redwoods, yes. New Zealand, okay, my favorite place. Maybe I would suggest
Wow.
doing a lot of those Oracle card parties. Hashtag Oracle card party, hello, because I've always wanted to go to New Zealand. And the more times you do a party and you upload photographs, the more likely it is
And
that you get in the rolling thing and you could get picked.
collect it, come to New Zealand.
That's right.
Both of those things will be true.
Yeah, I might cook, well, or Wyoming. That's right. Look at
Yeah.
Sammy has put me on her dream board with a pen. Exactly. And Portugal is in the house. Hey, Portugal too. Michigan and the deep freeze. Maria. Oh my gosh. Exactly. I love that
I
Sammy's
can
with us.
imagine.
Oh, Peterborough. Hey, Debbie. I love Debbie. She's the sweetest woman, I have to say. Yep. And there's Laz. Hey, guys. Okay. Enough of the saying hello, although I do get very excited when we say hello. Everybody wants to know where your blue hair is, Doug.
It's here. It's here. It's
I
just
know
a
we
little. I just got out of the
want
shower. It was a little bit of a late day today.
and I personally want him to dye his hair a brighter blue to match my glasses, just so you know, but I don't
Okay, Oracle Palooza, girl. Oracle Palooza.
Oracle Palooza.
That's happening.
All right. I hope you guys are coming to Oracle Palooza, by the way. It is fantastic. And we really do have the best time ever. And quite a few of you actually have come. I know Gina Maria is coming again. You didn't make it last year. We missed you. So here we are today. So, guys, we are in a break week. So, we are going to do what we did last week, which was so successful. We're going to bring you guys up on camera, but I want to go through some of the questions I think are really, really pertinent. So that we can dive in a little bit to, and you can ask us questions, but I want, Anna sent me a note about a few things, and Doug, she sent both of us a note. We've got Anna with her eagle eyes, ensuring that you are taken care of. So we really want to go through a few of the questions, and then we're going to practice with you guys. And just to kind of also give you a taste of how it's going to be during the integration, months as we come, because you're going to see a lot of Anna then. That's why you don't get to see her now. You get me and Doug. But we have lots of practice calls, so you can get really immersed in this, and it's getting a lot of a lot of fun, right? Okay. So first, let's do a meditation. How about that? Doug, are you up for that?
I think it sounds great.
Okay. So let's get me out of some of these things. And let's all start tonight by grounding ourselves in this week, this really wonderful week where we can catch up. Now you'll have months to catch up, but you know what I'm saying. So let's allow ourselves to be grounded in this stillness. And imagine that the soles of your feet get really heavy, like you're wearing lead shoes, but they're very alive. I want you to get this really heavy energy and feel that from the bottoms of your feet that you're putting roots into the ground right now and allowing the life force energy from the earth to move up through your body. And as you breathe in, really get the statement, I am safe. Just feel your shoulders relax. Go, I am worthy. Just tune into I am worthy. I am present. Just breathe into I am present. I am the observer. Let's go there. Let's really bring ourselves in the room. And I want you to concentrate on I am magic. I am magic. And hear a voice say, ah, magic is in me. Magic moves through me. Magic is my birthright. Magic is what I share. Magic comes through me and out into the world. The light within me creates miracles in my life. Just let your shoulders move and just let yourself kind of... Listen to the dogs bark. At the end of the meditation, there are barking dogs, yes. So for those of you who are not live on this call, when we close meditations, if this is your first time, barking dogs tell us when we're done. All right. Let's come back into the room. I actually felt that. Did you feel that?
I did. It was amazing. Really good.
Yeah, I loved it. So... one of the things that to consider when we do this work is the idea of being grounded. Like I had a particularly stressful day today, although it was also super productive. So sometimes you can get yourself into a big knot and you can get all like your shoulders are up behind your ears. Like I'm walking like this. And you want to get to that place where you know you can trust that the world happens with you and for you, not to you, right? Yeah. So no matter what, we are safe, we are secure, we are grounded. And I think that's really where we are in this course, right? Right in the middle.
Yeah.
Right. So, and you got tingles. Laz got tingles and they love the puppies. And Mark is going to get rid of one of the puppies, bring her upstairs. So they will be barking, hopefully not have to zip up Bizu. Okay, so there's a great question. Go ahead, Doug.
I just want to acknowledge some things in the chat. It's really kind of the I am worthy, the I am grounded. Even Lisa Silverman has a really lovely post there that you know, it's kind of really touched her and kind of let the magic started happening. So, you know, I think it's one of those things, it's good to reconnect with that belief that, and that knowledge that we are worthy, that we are magic, and that magic is within me. So it's the meditation, but it's also the reminder that I think is so powerful for us when we're in our day-to-day life that can sometimes get us a little distracted, shall we say.
And sometimes the outer world becomes very distorted, right? That's the other thing. So, and we can get really caught in our emotional bodies. And during this, and the reason I'm bringing this up, because you'll be watching this during Mercury retrograde in Pisces, because it started. And Mercury retrograde in Pisces is a typically very emotional and very secretive and very up and down. And I love retrograde times. I love them because you get to dive in and meet things, but you have to be careful with your emotional body. So I think it's really important for all of us to remember not to, how do I put this? To really recognize we are always worthy. It's not just worthy tonight on the class, right? We're not only going to be worthy and safe in Oracle School at Shared Wisdom on Tuesday nights or Tuesday afternoons, wherever you are in the world, or in the morning. We want to remind ourselves that this has to be our truth all the time. And no matter what the outer world brings us as a condition or a challenge, we still have to trust that we are indeed, right, safe, secure, and worthy. And worthy. So
love that.
Let me, oh, so good. Debbie said it let her let go from the whirlwind day I had. Me too. Me too. So I keep trying to talk about this one thing.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it now. Okay, so I'm Doug. I'm going to open up the Word doc here. So we have a great question. And Gail Stone, is Gail Stone here?
Let me see, Gail.
If Gail is here, I'd love to bring her up on the call.
I think so. I see a Gail STO at comcast.net. Is that you, Gail? And are you able to come on?
So I'm going to just read what Gail said. Okay. It says, I'm practicing holding my boundary while doing my own readings. From time to time, though, I slip out of observer in the middle of a reading, which has been surprising because I feel solidly an observer before I begin. When that happens, I simply stop, meditate until I can reset my boundaries and continue reading. But I can't be doing that when I'm working with others. Exactly. You can't stop and decide to meditate. What should we do if we're suddenly violating our own boundaries in the middle of a reading for others? What a great question.
Yeah. Oh,
what a fantastic question. So where's Gail? Gail, are you in your car? You better not be driving.
She's driving. I think she's driving. So we're going to let her look at her car and do that. Gail, we're going to talk about your...
Okay, there I am.
There you are.
Okay. Please be careful. Pull over, please. We don't want to talk to you enough. Are you going to pull over?
Yeah. No, I tell you what, can you call me later?
Yes, sure.
I will call you when I'm parked.
Okay, we're going to just talk about this question. And we'll bring you up.
I'll call you up later.
I'll call you up later. Thanks. Perfect. Thank you. I know you didn't think this was going to happen, right? First of all, that is amazing that that you even do that. So I'd like to acknowledge the fact that that is hardcore. Okay, you guys, this is hardcore commitment about doing a reading for yourself, recognizing when you're in your emotional body, which is interesting because that's what that meditation was about for us, to get us back and grounded and trusting that we're worthy. So we can get triggered sometimes, I think, when we lose our sense of observer, when something comes up that we go like this, or like, oh, the catch in the throat happens, or I can't be objective. What does this mean? So we do temporarily go there, and that's very common. More common than not, by the way, because remember, what you guys are doing here, the hardest thing you can possibly do, which is to learn to read for yourself about yourself. Right? It gets much easier when you start to add other people into the mix, believe it or not. Right? Don't you think so, Doug?
Yeah, I do. I think that there's times when the work that we do with ourselves in personal mastery, the work that we do in the first course, and we're kind of starting a little bit of that here now, is really to begin to get connected to what the dominant energy is, to get connected to our boundaries, to get clear about what we're sensing and what we're feeling. So when you do a reading for yourself or for someone else, when you're sharing wisdom, paying attention to how you feel, noticing, and you guys will recall that we're on the call last week, we talked about noticing where your energy goes. Do some journaling, right? I think I mentioned that towards the end of the call, that it's so important to kind of really get clear about those kinds of things. Gail says she's parked, by the way, if you want to bring her back.
Come on. Sure. Go ahead. You can bring her back.
Yeah, okay. I'll do that real quick.
Host?
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Ooh.
All right.
I love Anna. Anna's like everybody's mom. Please pull over. Okay.
There you are.
So I don't know if you heard me say that was hardcore, girlfriend. That was so good. The fact that you actually are this committed, I'm telling you, this is how you learn, is by doing what you just said you did. Because it's so much easier just to fluff over it and get yourself into a state. So I want to commend you for what you're doing. I'm serious. I think that is like, everybody can learn from that because that is real commitment, I will say. Now, take that and say, that's good. You can just take it. Take it, Gail.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's good. And I think that's a really, really wonderful way for people to get, oh, I can do that. I can do that. Now you're correct. With another person, you can't say, excuse me, I need to take a break so I can meditate and get back into my observer. You can never do that. So you can learn. And this is such a great question because I've done readings professionally for 25 years and then coached and read. I changed it. So about 30 years because I retired from personal one-on-ones 3 years ago or 2.5 years ago when I started Oracle School. So what I had to learn how to do was be quick on my feet, right? Like the fox, like really quick on my feet. And no, oh, I just moved over here. So if you can imagine that there's more than one of you, so Laura Lewis wants us to repeat the question. So let's repeat the question. So it's basically, what do I do? How do I manage when I get out of my observer when I am doing a reading for someone else? That's pretty much what Gail was saying. She told us what she does when she does it for herself, which is to step back and regroup. And then come back when she is, right, exactly. It gets so much easier to get neutral with practice. Thanks. And Gina Marie does this for a living. So, when you do it and do it and do it and do it, you start to get really good at it. So the more you do it with partners, Gail, the easier it becomes. Okay. But let me say this, though. Sometimes shuffle in the chair. Wow, Brenda Mary, that is so, look at these experts we already have.
What does that mean?
I would say move your butt. Remember what we did, the chair exercise, right?
Oh.
You want to slide over here. And that's 100% of one of the things I was going to mention, Brenda, is move your body physically. So get a little fidgety, right? Say like, oh yeah, and my observer's to the left ass cheek. So you just literally say that to yourself, put it on the side, right? Like and just move. I'm going to go over here now, just a little bit. And then you can move back again because you're back in the observer. You just literally say, oh, this is the observer ass, right? like that's the best way to do it to make fun too. Otherwise, you're so serious. The other thing, go ahead.
And you're right that the more I do it, the faster I catch myself.
Yeah. And not only that, sometimes it's okay, right? It's okay to do that because you're like, ooh, this reminds me of something. This is where the wisdom comes. Because remember, in shared wisdom, I know a bunch of you have taken the Oracle Card Reader course with Hay House and some of you are getting a little confused, like, because that's a active passive, right? You're active passive. Now the person just sits and you don't let them talk and then you blabble at them and then there's your reading. Whereas what we do in shared wisdom, or when you guys coach with Oracle cards or whatever, what we do then is we engage in sharing. So you could stop yourself in the middle and say, you know, this reminds me. You know, I'm just being reminded right now of something that is pertinent that happened to me. Do you mind if I share that? Because this is different. You don't do that in a paid reading. You won't do that with somebody who's coming to you for a paid client unless you are coaching with them. That's another thing, right? Where you say like, where you have that active that's decided in advance. But I'm going a little advanced here. But I think it's really key to remind yourself that it's okay in this course, especially to feel, because you're sharing. And when you have your Oracle card parties and when you're doing this with friends and family, and it's not a professional thing where you're like, hey, you know what? Just a second there. This is just what happened to me, and speak to it or move your ass.
Would I pull a card about it for myself in the middle of that?
I have done that. I've actually done that in a reading. Like I have. But you're making it too complicated. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need to. You mean when you're sitting there with the other person? Not if it's not awkward. Say, like, you might slide a card when they're not looking. Right? You're like, well, slide this over. What the heck's happening to me? Right? So you can sneak it if you want. But I think the truth is you know exactly, ooh, yeah. I got dinged here. Can we talk about this? Right? Don't you think, Doug?
Yeah. And I have a slight, I mean, I don't know, maybe. I'm certainly the less professional of the readers on the call, probably, I'm sure. However, but I would, well, you know, here's my thing. I really value someone who is authentic with me. And so, and I have had readings that are paid readings that I'm doing with someone coaching. I do what I call intuitive coaching. And I will say, you know what, something's coming in for me right now and I just need to pause. Can you give me just a minute? And I just check myself.
What Anna wrote.
Yeah.
I'm Anna. Sorry, Doug.
It's all right. So anyway, my thought is to kind of create space to let it be safe for you, especially in our shared wisdom program, right? Like, definitely let it be safe to say, yeah. Huh, this is what's coming up for me. I'm curious about this because you're learning right now. But that's even right. In real sessions, if I get caught up in my own stuff or caught up in my own head, I will say, I need to take a minute and just pause for a second. I want to just check in on something. Yeah. And that's checking in on me. That's checking in what I'm hearing from spirit. It could be any of those above things, but it's a very safe way for me. And I find that my clients have appreciated that when I do that, because they know I'm taking the time to be considered and thoughtful, and I'm just being real. I don't need to tell them all of what's going on in my head, but
wait a minute, Doug. Another thing that really, really works with what Doug said, which I want to, you know, underline. I think I've had too much coffee today. I'm sorry, Doug. I'm like, Doug. Damn, Doug. was that not only you can remember that you're talking, or if you're dealing with somebody, you're using yourself as a metaphor.
Yeah. So,
you know, and then you bring it into, can you identify with this? So you're using, like, remember, Oracle cards are storytellers.
That's really
so
good.
You say, you know, this is bringing up a story. If you don't mind, I'd like to share it with you. It's something that happened to me. Does that make sense to you? So you can actually segue, because you've gone like, ooh, I get it. Right. I get it. So they're like, and you don't get nervous then. You're not tweaked at all. You don't like the observer. Here's the other thing. We have feelings. The observer doesn't mean to be numb. So sometimes we think the observer means to be completely detached at all times with what we're delivering and what we're talking about. But we also have feelings about what we're saying, about what comes up for us. And remember that we are the filters. We all read to the filter of our life experience and personalities. And so when something does come up, I think it's important to honor it. I love Doug's approach, and I do love the ask approach and the speak to it approach too, because everything works. And actually, to be honest with you, at some point, and I've done over 70,000 individual readings or more, maybe 200,000 in 30 years, I think probably. But I will tell you that whenever I got to a place where I felt like, oh, I'd say, I'm going to take a minute here and I'd like to segue into a story and see if we can tell it to you this way if you're not understanding it. And then I would just take a breath and say, okay, so this, see if this speaks to you. Now, I know I'm not really talking about me, because nobody wants to hear about us. Like, if you're doing a reading, you know, for somebody who's expecting you to read for them, like, and they're, but in shared wisdom, we all want to hear about each other. It's different. Doug?
No, nothing to add. I think that's great. I think, you know, Gail, what I would encourage you to do is just pay more attention right now to the noticing of when you get off boundary, like when you feel like you're kind of lost, and notice and journal about it and see what's coming up. Because sometimes what's happening is you're getting triggered for something that you need to work through and process for yourself. And especially if it happens repeatedly, like that's when there's a pattern that you can notice and just say, what do I got to do here? And what's the work for me to do? And then maybe separately do a reading for yourself to get clear about what that is. You know, you don't need to do it in the middle of a reading with someone else or a session with someone else. So,
but I think this is a really valid question.
Yeah, very much so.
Very, very valid question. And I'm glad it came up, because you guys are at a place right now too about boundaries, right? And it's like, is it okay? When is it okay for me to share? Do I ask permission, you know, or do we just move to the left ass cheek. It's kind of like, and that's the kind of decisive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what I really need is just to get out of my, I will jump into a place of, oh, I need to know the answer. No, wrong. Mm-hmm. So I got to snap back out of needing to know the answer.
Okay, so that is something that I can tell you takes a while. And again, remember, like Anna said, we're all learning. It's okay to stop and regroup and say, I got to regroup here. And actually, this is a really way to teach each other to say, wow, you know, in that minute right there, I got to just say, like, I just went, woo, and I wanted to know the answer. And instead of looking for the answer, can I just share with you this story that's coming up for me? And also, I might be wrong. Do you know how often I have said that? People were paying me $1,000 an hour. I'm going, you know, I could be totally wrong with this, but and they're like, oh no, that's 100% right. But I'm like, this is really crazy. And then you have to just sort of be okay with being wrong too. And then you say, oh, that wasn't correct. So maybe we should reframe it. So does it make more sense if we apply it to this? Oh, that's the way it is. Because if you're not afraid and you're like going, I could be totally wrong. You have to be hootless. Obviously, if you're taking somebody's money, you have to be willing to give it back. But that's the way I had to learn. Same on stage doing medium. I don't know who dead person's going to talk to me. I have no clue. 1,000 people in the audience. I don't know if anybody's showing up today. So that's how you have to be. Practice that and have fun with it. And don't get too serious about being right or wrong or needing an answer, because the answer will come to you. You don't have to look for it. It's there going, hello, 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 right?
Yeah. It's great. Thank you.
Yeah, it's okay to be wrong, because what is wrong? Wrong might just be an inaccurate. Here's the deal with you guys. You're unlikely not wrong that the elements of the reading are 100% correct, but you put the puzzle together ass backwards. Talking about ass a lot.
And the client's going to know it. The client's going to know it. They'll be able to put them back together, I think.
Well, you're going to say to them, okay, so let's look at the elements here. So does that make sense? And they go, no, it doesn't make any sense. I'm totally resisting this. Let's say, okay, so who do you think this could apply to? Because whatever it is affecting you. And it's like, this is not wrong. I might be explaining it to you wrong. So why don't you work with me a little bit and so we can get there. These are the components of this answer or this storyline. Maybe we need to rearrange them a little bit. And I always say, maybe my puzzle pieces are stuck in the wrong place. And then I go, oh my God, yes, now I understand. And then I go back over the reading and say, so we went here, then we went there. And do you see how I put the puzzle piece there by accident? But now we're here because you helped me. That's so great. And now we have our answer. Sharing.
Great. Thanks, Gail. Thanks for pulling over so we could talk to you. We'll let you get back to your drive.
All right.
Bye, you guys. Bye. All right.
Fun.
Yeah. So we had a few other questions come into the main hall. As a reminder, you guys, we always have places for you each week to post questions in the main hall, and we'll watch those. But going to go ahead and invite you. Make sure you have your decks with you. If you want to do some counsel work with us tonight, make sure you have some decks and go ahead and raise your hand, because in just a minute, we're going to start to call on folks. But Colette, there are a couple of other questions there. I wanted to just see if there's any of them that just kind of stood out for you that you wanted. We just had a few tonight. One I love, which was not a question. I'll just want to acknowledge Lorna. Lorna's like, just wanted to share. I don't have any questions. I'm just absorbing like a sponge. You sponge it. That's all good. We love that. So thank you for sharing that with us. So let's see.
Let's just go through them, because Wendy.
Yeah,
so
perfect.
Jackson, yeah, let's just go through them one by one, and then we'll bring people up, because I think these are you guys take the time to write this stuff. Remember, the main hall, I go in the main hall. Now, you know, I've been liking your posts and putting big hearts and stuff because I read them all too. But I am answering those questions in the main hall. So you'll go look and see if I answered, because likely I have. So Wendy says, as an empath, I've been working hard to set boundaries. Remember, Mercury retrograde in Pisces, not so easy, but it's been eye-opening to actually see drama unfold in front of me and watch as if I was outside of it, watching a movie. I have to practice that more. Yet I notice I have a more difficult time staying in the observer mode with my husband and 3 young children. Well, that's so true, because you are emotionally enmeshed with them. Okay. So you have an agreed enmeshment. Your consciousness is blended with those guys because they are your family and you see them all the time. You have your husband, you have a specific dynamic, and then you have dynamics with your kids. So it is much harder with the people closest to you. This is true. So is this to be expected? Yes. Also the energy of the home. Yes. Any suggestion for keeping clear boundaries with my most precious souls? I sometimes realize after a moment of chaos, I was just in an I Love Lucy sitcom. That's what I've been feeling my entire life. We're trying to learn to stay better grounded and centered in the moment. Is Wendy here? Wendy Sexton, W-E-N-D-I. So the energy of your home.
See. She is here.
There she is. Okay. Pisces with Scorpio moon. Woohoo. I'm in my progressed moon in Scorpio, so I'm having quite the emotional roller coaster these days. I wish it was not true, but it is. Dunk this little Cancer in the deep water. Okay. So where is Wendy? These are good questions for everybody, right? These are very, very good questions for everybody. Swim, little fishy, swim. I love this. Okay. Where is she?
Can you hear us, Wendy?
I'm in a car. I'm in the passenger seat, though, so okay. That's why it looks dark.
All righty. There you are. Oh, flash. Okay.
There she is.
This is a really good question, and I think that one that I don't want anybody to think you're doing anything wrong, right? That when you feel like it's harder to set a boundary, and what does it mean to set a boundary? Well, it means to be, so the best way that I have learned about is to trust that Spirit has a plan for everybody, right? Spirit has a plan for everybody. And each one of your kids has their own guardian angel. That's not you. So does your husband. So the relationship has its own energy. So you can see it as a heart. It's its own person. The two of you are in one being, like you're enmeshed in this one. And so the idea is that it's hard to say this, but it's to try to take nothing personally. Now you will do first, and then you have to step back and go, ooh, if this was not personal, what am I learning here? If love was not personal, what am I sharing here? What if it was something more? I know, Annetta, why is everyone driving? It's just like... So does that make sense, Wendy? Is when you say that, and when you look at it, it's like, what if this wasn't personal, even though it is?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I just find that it's easier to see it after the fact. I'm like, oh, why couldn't I stay calmer and more peaceful during?
Okay, so how about, what did I learn with that? And instead of judging it as, because what we don't want to do is judge. I had a situation today that I was like, why couldn't I have just dealt with it like Teflon? You know, why couldn't it just have gone away? Well, it didn't. And so rather than apologize for like, oh, this didn't work as well as I wish it would, and I had an emotional reaction to it, I'm like, oh, what am I learning here? And the more you say, what am I learning here? The shorter the amount that the drama gets you, the shorter the amount that the emotions hurt you, the smaller the amount of time that you stay in that, and you cycle faster. You cycle so much faster. Just to be willing to cycle faster. Don't run away from the feelings, and don't try to edit those. Doug?
Yeah, I think very, 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 very much, Wendy, this is a practice. And, mm-hmm. you know, we talk about meditation practice and mindfulness practice, and you know, so much of the practice, the work is not in staying focused, staying in the space of the observer. The work is when you realize you're not, you come back.
Right.
So, it's coming back that's the work. It's kind of like everybody says dieting is so hard. And the reality is dieting is not hard. It's getting back on the diet is hard once you've fallen off. And the same is true for observing, being in that space of observer. And I think it takes practice. So I think you're really doing, I think you're doing the work. I loved your question because it's like when you have four other humans that are in your life that you're, huh?
That you're depending on her.
Yeah, that are depending on you and are a part of that. You need to do two things. One is create space for yourself. So mm-hmm. find ways and rituals that support you using some of the stuff in this week's module, last week's module content. There's some great things in there that I think can support you. But also let yourself be gracious with yourself about the practice. I have to remind myself, even when I'm meditating, like, okay, go back to the breath. Yeah, I just thought about that TV show last night. Or, oh, I just thought about what am I going to have for dinner tonight. You know, it's like all these things come up, but it's about just finding that space of practice and return. Does that help a little bit, Wendy?
Definitely. And I've noticed a big progression where I used to not even notice that, oh, I lost my time. Like I knew I did, but I didn't think about it later. And I wouldn't see the irony or the funniness of it later. I would just still let it bother me and sit with me and be anxious. And now I can, like, 5 minutes later, be like, oh my gosh, that was so funny if somebody was watching. But in the moment I was frazzled, you know, or, it's very eye-opening to be able to start to see that I am seeing two different perspectives at once. Sometimes I'm a little bit delayed in my play of it. It's a good journey.
Good. Well, thank you for the question, for
and
sure.
And thank you. Tomorrow's my birthday, so I knew you would call me.
Oh, happy birthday.
On the new moon.
Great. Have a good night.
Thank you.
And I like when, you know, you and I, we talk about our humanity, because this is not a course to erase your humanity. This is a course to help us manage our humanity. And I always tell you guys when I've had a difficult moment, because I'm going to show you how I got out of that. And I'll tell you, today I was observing myself having like an emotional indulgence, if you would, because I couldn't get out of it. And I really had to love myself through it. And then I knew I was on class tonight, and I really, really did it. In the past, this could have made me have freaked out for 2 weeks. And it was like an hour, 2 hours, gone. Sure, it wasn't time. And that's what life is. You want to have 80% wizard, 20% muggle. That's what we're going for here. Less time in hell. Thank you, Sammy. Oh, I love what Carol Burns says. Why are we so resistant to self-care? Why are we so resistant to self-care? So many healers, many people who are drawn to the healer's path bring this resistance with them, because they feel that if they are not giving to others and healing others and fixing others, they do not deserve to have that for themselves, right? They do not deserve to have those themselves. And so that's what we have to work through here. If you're having some resistance to self-care, the question you ask is, what do I need to know about allowing myself this gift of self-care, right? And listen, you might break down. That's like the eating disorders are like this too. It's because it's like, oh, we don't know how to nurture ourselves, so we'll eat compulsively. Or we don't know, you know, how to take better care of ourselves, so we have to actually sit down consciously, because maybe we may not have been taught, right? We may not. Look at this. I am not helping. If I'm not helping others, I think you mean you don't deserve to shine. Yeah, I get it. Tarak. T-R-K. Yeah, so the way we were raised, work, 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 don't think about ourselves, give, 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 who do we think we are? Yeah. And then the truth is that, you know, you become bright lights that attract a lot of bugs. And that's true too. So we live in this very interesting bully culture anyway, external to us. The teenagers have it terrible today. The selfies, and they compare themselves to the social media pictures and things, and they get very depressed. So look at us as adults. Most people here are adults. I believe I am still adulting. You know, I will be adulting until I'm 90, right? And you have to unlearn the old conditioning, and don't bully yourself, because I guarantee you that we are our worst critics and we are our worst bullies. What do you say, Doug?
I think that the whole issue of self-care is around two things. One, I think it needs to be said that in Western society, many women were not taught to care for their own needs, and men were not taught that their needs, that they even had needs other than what they would go like kill to make happen. Hunter-gatherer kind of things. And so there's a part of us that we're overcoming a genetic history, an embedded history in our DNA that's been a part of us for evolutionary times. But there's another piece too, and that is, it is fundamentally what you said, Clett, it's this idea of worth. Mm-hmm. And it's a conversation of self-worth. So it's not that we're resistant, it's about worthiness, exactly, Gina Maria. Mm-hmm. It's about worthiness, and how do we make sure that we remind ourselves that we're worthy. I'm having an interesting conversation right now. I'm doing some work on my weight and my health and my physical well-being. And one of the things that's coming up for me a lot, which is really good, is that I used to think it wasn't okay to be comforted, which is a kind of a random thing. And what I realized, like, everyone else could be comforted, but I couldn't be. And so now I know, wait, it gets better, honey.
That's why you shut me down all the time when I say, Doug, come on, let me be there for you.
Yeah. And so, so here's the thing. And so the aha is that what if I make it a part of my life to make sure that I am comforted, that I can comfort myself, right? That I can take on that. And then by doing that, then I can say, well, what does healthy comfort look like? I want to comfort myself in a way that, yes, that's not like all kinds of things. So it's really about letting myself being healthy, but also letting myself know that I deserve that comfort. And it's not in it sounds very arrogant, but there was something about using that word for me that just shifted something that it was about deserving. It was about self-worth that I'd never thought through that before. So I think
that's not arrogant.
It's not, but like people could perceive that when you, and my little goblins would tell me that that's what it's, so anyway, I think this idea of self-care and resisting to self-care is so much about self-worth, and the more we can do about that is so important. We're talking so much this week and last week about taking care of ourselves. So these are perfect questions for this.
You know, it's I love that whole conversation. I don't know how many of you were raised by European parents who were like mine, first generation Canadian, and both my parents came from after World War II. So my mom had starved. So we had food in the, my mom would stuff the basement cold cellar to make sure that we wouldn't starve because they starved. And also food became a thing for me, like, oh my God, like nourishment that represented safety and nourishment and whatever. So I ended up with an eating disorder. But the other thing is that working hard to get where you need to go, part of the Clean Plate Club, exactly. But you have to work to be worthy. That's the other thing. So to drive yourself and to not allow yourself the self-care, because if you took a break for self-care, you were selfish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So that's very common for a lot of people, and certainly in the generation, certainly baby boomers and the one before us too. So we're all learning. Or lazy. Oh my God, Laura Lewis. Exactly.
Yeah.
You are being lazy.
So there's a couple of interesting questions. You know, Patricia's asked a question in the Q&A, Colette, that says, what if your default self-care is to isolate? And I think what's interesting about that is we all have different coping mechanisms based on our choices, our family, our history, whatever it might be. And I think that the thing to do is to lean into those things and one, find the gift in that, but also find the gift in the opposite, right? So like in my case, comforting can be numbing, which is not helpful, but comforting in a loving, healthy way could be things like having good, healthy food in my home to make sure I'm eating healthy, making healthy choices. Like that can be comforting. And letting it come from that space, then I have to do it right or whatever the issue is. So in the case of isolation, what do you think about that, Colette, from in terms of people who want to isolate from self-care? It's a good question from Patricia.
Well, I can tell you this, that sometimes when you're overly empathic, isolation is good, which means that there's two versions of isolation. One, when that's that more Neptunian one where you really need time alone. Like I like a lot of alone time. So I actually have good self-care when I'm detached a little bit more because I give so much when I'm here and I learned that that's actually good. What's not good is to ignore everything and everyone and curl up in a ball, don't answer the phone with cheesies. You know, there's a different type of isolation. So it's healthy when you say, I'm not going to go to the party because I need to spend some time for me, take a hot bath, read a good book, you know? So yeah, it's Shrove Tuesday. Oh, I didn't know that. So isolation is not necessarily a bad thing. What's the next question, Doug?
Yeah, another question we have, a couple of questions kind of related to this from Catherine Keating Kay says, when we do the get on your bird exercise, sometimes we might get to a place in the meditation and we don't want to leave there because we're so tired or we feel depleted. Do we still get on the bird if we like the landscape we land in? if it feels really lovely, do we need to get on the bird? So I think that was a little bit of an interesting question about that particular meditation. And then we've got a couple of questions on closing readings, which we can talk about later.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question because sometimes I've been in a landscape where, and actually Doug and I have coached together. So when we do the Envision process, and Doug is really, really good at it. And so I called him up and I said, listen, I need to some coaching around this. Actually, I need to book another appointment. So I found myself needing to explore a place, right? So, and I'd say, oh, I'm not going to go anywhere yet. I want to look around and see. And so it gets to be, you can be in the landscape and stay there for a while because it calls to you and it's a good place. So yes, absolutely. So you might not want to go anywhere. But on the other hand, remember that typically when we look at what is, what is the landscape, if it's more stressful, et cetera, you're going to want to leave. And this is to prove to you that you can move your mind. That's the point of the envision process. You could trick your subconscious, go to the unconscious, and then come back out the other side in a completely different place without ever having to analyze or deal with any of the stuff that landscape represented. So if you're using the envision process, the observer, getting on your bird as the exercise, because that is the envision process, then you're like, okay, well, what is this place I'm looking at? Do I want to lie down in the field of poppies? Right? So you can play with your mind with that. But ultimately, the point of that is to actually prove to yourself that you can move, right? That's why you do that, is to be able to move and become detached.
Perfect. I love that. So we have a couple of questions, and this is kind of a topic for, because next week we're going to talk about the content in this module. Tonight, we really want to talk a little bit more about councils, but we've had two questions come in about closing a reading. Colette, right. I know that's something we talk about. I'm wondering if you could just talk a little bit about the process, like how do we do it? Anything you want to say about that? One question is like, yeah, that's kind of what I think.
Personal. Like, I used to be, when I first started doing readings and I did everything with the tarot, the Universal Weight Tarot was, and the Aquarian Tarot and all these different tarot decks. I'd have a beginning, middle, and an end to the reading. And I was very much, I had to hit, blow on my deck, tap it two times, put a crystal on it, wrap it. And I would always do that. And there would be, I had Tibetan bells. So I love closing a reading with Tibetan bells. And if you guys have that, I'm going to tell you right now, that just resonates through your whole body.
Yeah.
And if you can get your hands on some Tibetan bells, personally, that is such a resonant experience and it feels beautiful when you do it. But it is so personal. And it is just so, so personal to you how you do it. Sometimes, like if you're doing readings for other people, I know Gina Maria had written earlier that she meditates and deep breathes, right? So she deep breathes. I used to teach something called holotropic breath work that I learned from Stanislav Grof, and I'm dating myself because I am in my 60s. But that was very cool in the 80s, early 90s. And so it's a kind of a movement of breath that can be, it's almost like hyperventilating, but you're being very sure of your breath just to do three of those breaths, like circular breaths at the end. But personally, because I like sound, I like the bells.
Yeah. And I've done a lot of work with, I'm Reiki master teacher level 3. And one of the things that I learned from my Reiki master is that is the two things is the power of gratitude. So the phrase thank you is magic.
Yes.
To just be. And so for me, when I say thank you after I've done a session, and then I wash my hands with cold
hands.
Water.
I forgot.
And I wash my hands with cold water. And that is something that I still do, even if I'm doing a virtual a Zoom intuitive reading. So if I'm doing session with someone over the phone or on video, I will still do that afterward. So, and I really like fresh air too, but it's about just protecting your own energy is really all it is. I think that can be a really helpful process. So find out what feels right for you. You may have other practices that fit, but I think love your idea, Colette, of just kind of the bells. We use those Tibetan bells a lot in some of the workshops I've delivered, and I love that idea. But it's about having something that is meaning to you, that you are clear, that you're closed, that the session is closed for you. You're complete. Yeah.
And just intention. You don't have, just intention. I intended. I like clapping, like let's everybody clap.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's like, this was great. And you make, or you go like this. There's a million ways that you can close a reading, but with yourself, you make it sacred when you start with a bell and end with a bell, or you start with a something and end with that something.
And the power of that, by the way, is just to be clear, is the intention, right? It's the intention you bring to that bell. It's the intention you bring to that thank you, to that washing your hands. So whatever you do, do so with intention that that's what you're doing, is this creating the sacred container for that shared session with that person.
Yeah, perfect. It is a sacred container. That's exactly
right. All right. So we've, I think I've got one more question Q&A. I may come to you later, but I want to get some folks up on the call to do counsel work. So Colette, what do you think? How do we want to pull people out? Or how? What kind of work do you want them to do with their counsel? Same thing as last week. Do you have another thought about
that? I really like what we did last week too, because it gets people to really get to know what the different decks speak about. So it's like having a group of people giving you advice at the same time. So I think the more, everybody loved doing that last week. I think the more time we do it, the more you learn from it. I think that's okay if everybody's into it. Put your hands
Perfect.
Up.
Perfect. So happy. Yeah, put your hands up if you've got a couple of decks handy, because we want you to pull from at least two decks. Three.
So,
yeah, I think that pinky had a little extra coffee. also, as always, guys, when we're bringing people up, if you've been brought up on the last few weeks, we'd ask that you peek your hand down this week and give someone else a chance. So just to get as many people as we can. So let's go ahead, and I'm just going to pull someone. I'm going to start with Allison, AMBOHC. Allison, you're going to come on here. And so what we'd like you to do is think about a question that you have. And whatever that question is, we'll then let you kind of pull from three decks that you have.
And then I will pull an extra card for you. So the fourth card will be mine.
Perfect. Hi, Allison. Can you hear us okay?
Because then you can see how you can share with counsels with other people. Where's Allison? Allison. Come on the video. Talk to you about our new puppy. Well, our new puppy is upstairs in the TV room. Thank you, Lise. We're just waiting for Allison to come on. Come on, Allison. Where is she?
Well, we don't have you, Allison. I'm not sure we can hear you. Can you make sure that we've got your audio set up working? Tech Gremlin. Okay, well, we'll come back to you then.
Gremlin Tech. Oh.
We'll try and get you on the next one then.
Mm-hmm. So remember.
Let us know if you get it fixed. All right, so we'll go to the next one. Just kind of pulling through here. Marianne Graham, you're going to come on next. Hello. Let's see if we can hear you. We can't quite hear you yet. Can we unmute?
Is that on?
There, you got it.
Oh, got it. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, darling.
How are you, Colette? It's so nice to meet you.
Are you having fun tonight?
I am. I am. My decks were all ready, and I'm also a birthday girl this week, so it's
Come
Pisces
on.
Night.
Oh, it's so great.
It's all Pisces, honey.
Love it.
So I'm loving your course. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me on, because
Pleasure.
A little... need some help, so here we're going.
Excellent. Well, we're here to give it to you.
Here's my cat.
Hello, kitty, come to Poo-Poo.
Doesn't he love me? My dog's away.
My dogs are upstairs, downstairs, in their corner.
I heard the beginning and the end of your intros was lovely.
Thank you. All right, so what is the question that we want to pose for you?
I guess it has to do with, I was looking today at resistance, and I'm sure I have a little bit of resistance to the unknown, no matter how much I want to tap into higher power, and I know it's there, and sometimes I can just feel the light. I have sometimes a little fear of the unknown, even though I don't feel like I should. So I guess in my highest good, how do I recognize and overcome the innate fear that comes with reaching that inner oracle and that inner spirit and power?
Awesome. Okay. So we're going to ask now, which are your card decks?
Oh, well, I have Realm, Enchanted Map, Woto, which is like, it's like mom. I've said that, mom. Enchanted Map feels like grandma.
I love it.
And I have spirits. So I don't know. It could go. I haven't done Realm very often. So I don't know how comfortable it is with me or vice versa.
Oh, that's relatively new. So what we're looking for is the council. You're going to choose those three decks.
Okay. I think Enchanted Map wants to talk first, which is kind of weird. Thanks, Mom. Grandma wants to talk. So, in my highest good, the first card will be, let me just kind of, I shuffled them before because I guess I kind of knew.
No problem. So we're dealing with the fear of the unknown. How do we move beyond the fear of the unknown? Is that kind of how, when people maybe fill the question, what is in my highest good to move beyond fear of the unknown? Or what do I need to say about this?
From map, we got Talisman 49, big number that I love, in protection.
Okay. Doug, do you want to speak to that? Let's get all your counsel together.
Okay. I'm going to need to pull that one up because I'm without cards this week, but I can pull that one up.
Yeah, I can also. Okay, and I'll go to Spirit next. And again, the question is, how do I overcome the innate fear of reaching the inner oracle, that just little bit of fear, like how do I get by that so I can connect clearly as the observer and just in touch with, maybe that's a conflict as the observer. Okay, two cards are sticking together and I've worked this deck a lot. So I'm gonna consider the second one as kind of important too. So the first one is Rhino Spirit.
Okay.
Which is 50, not in protection. And the one that's sticking to it, and I'm not sure if it was important or not, was Bat Spirit in protection. So I'm going to turn that sideways and think about that. That's 5. That may not be important. It might have just stuck because I'm doing this one-handed and I tend to do two hands generally.
I'm going to jump in now and put those together if you don't mind.
Go ahead. I'd love it. Okay.
All right. So if you look at the first card, so Enchanted Map is talking to you. And so whenever the talisman is in protection, or in this case, it's just in reverse. We call it reversed and upright in that deck. Okay. You are realizing that you aren't, it's like you're denying that you already know, like you've already learned this lesson before because you've been through many unknowns. And there's a tendency to think that you haven't learned anything, right? Or that maybe you're saying, well, I don't really know this because it's unknown. But in fact, you've met many unknowns. You've stepped into the unknown a ton of times already up to this point. So I think that's what that suggests. Doug, do you want to add to that?
Well, I mean, Talisman in reverse, of course, is about doing the same thing over and over again. And why expecting something to be different? It's like, it's all about repetitive patterns. So it's the same kind of thing. If you look at, it talks about, you know, you keep walking and dropping in a hole a few times. Why would you not walk around the hole next time? So the key action, though, I think that I love about Talisman is that it's about getting wisdom from someone else, asking for help. So I would be really curious. Yeah, I mean, I think there's something about asking for help around this, people who have done this work and who have been in that space and kind of getting a sense of that. So there's definitely something there for you, but it totally aligns with what you just said, Colette.
Yeah, it's that denial that you've been here before. You know, it's like, wait a minute, I don't know what I'm doing. No, you've been here. You've been here before. Right. That reminds me about Rhino Spirit, which is, that's the innate obstacle right there, right? You can overcome any obstacle because you've been there before already, even though you're falling in the hole 10 times, eventually you're going to get up and around it. So you can overcome this. That's very, very supportive. And Bat Spirit is about that rebirth, right? It's like, if it's in protection, it's saying like, hey, you got to let go of the branch. Like that. You have to let go what needs to die. And in this case, what needs to die is the innate fear. Is the idea that you can't do this. Or, oh my God, it's too scary. Or because you've forgotten that you've been here before.
Makes sense. Totally makes sense. Yeah, get out of your own way. Let the spirit flow. And interesting, Woto had a lovely message, I believe.
Yes.
27 exchanging gifts. So here comes Mom. Here comes Mom to say, yeah, you had it. Go ahead, you can speak. But I feel like it's like, okay, here's Mom.
Yeah. And here's, I think exchanging gifts is that it's reminding you that you are always have great value, right? That there's great value in your experience that you're sharing with others. and that the world is sharing back with you. And you're not alone. I love exchanging gifts as the closing card for you. And you have four cards, so I'm not going to pull another one for you. But the idea that, yeah, wait, this is all about this learning. And this is about gaining wisdom through experience, recognizing I've already had experience up to this point. And I love that it's your mom.
That's the mom deck. Just when you made us do How Did the Decks Feel to You, I really journaled. And I've always felt like mom, best friend, Woto. Mm-hmm. And it was the first deck I used. And I got, you know, many of your decks, goddess deck I will pull after because I love goddess. She was kind of quiet tonight. But I think that's because she's in the corner. I had to move her because I have too many decks. Not that you can ever have too many decks.
We're in the corner.
Yeah, she's in a nice little corner. There's some pink light, you know.
That's great.
Thank you. So, yeah. No,
thank you, Marianne.
I'm working on it. I love you guys. And you are bringing our pots bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. I know when you're growing, there's a little setback and a little question here and there. As you evolve more, mm-hmm. you get the questions, and then you just move up. So thank you so much for a higher place to look from. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, Kalei, let's pull someone else to do this. So let's see. I think, let's see if Allison is available. She was, Allison, you took your hand down. Are you going to, I'll come to someone else. If you want to come back, Allison, let me know. I'm going to go to Dana Hauser. Dana, you're coming up next. And we'll come back to Allison if you want. Let's go to Dana. There you are. Hi, Dana. Let's get your audio unmuted there.
Hey, Dana.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, my gosh.
You look like you're in this beautiful fairy place. Like, it's like
a Zen den.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. You call it the Zen den. We call our farm the Zen farm. Zen farm, yes.
My friend helped me do the whole room. And
that's nice. Beautiful. Yeah. Okay, so what's your question? And let's see how your council puts everybody together.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I have a lot of questions. Mine is stepping into, it's kind of similar. So I could either talk about a relationship or I could talk about stepping into my higher calling and what. Mine's kind of the same as what you just had, more about the fear of what's holding me back and how I can break through that fear. Like I kept putting my hand down, like I'm not, like the whole worthiness thing that's running through this theme of this class right now.
So what if we had a question, what if we took the question and said, what do I need to know about how I handle my worthiness and, you know, how I feel, how I connect with that? Would that be okay to kind of bring that into play?
Yeah.
Because something tells me that worthiness conversation might have an impact on any kind of relationship you're working on as well. I don't know, just a thought, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay. Kalei, do you have any thoughts on that? Relationship versus worthiness? Good, okay.
I think it, yeah. So, and I'd love to hear your take on this one.
Yeah, for sure. So let's go ahead and pull, what decks do you have there, Dana?
Okay, I have pretty much all of them except goddess. So, okay.
Well, which three are kind of pulling for you? I'll pull a goddess card for you. So you pull three decks that you feel really connected to, and we'll kind of do that. And then I'll pull a card from the goddess app for you.
I'll start with Avalon.
Yeah, one of my favorites. So again, kind of what do I need to know to begin to change the conversation about my self-worth? As it relates to, I think you could even say, as it relates to my stepping into my career, stepping into my next role, my next mm-hmm. calling. Does that resonate for you?
Very much, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I really wanted to pull in the self-worth, given that that was something you said was really speaking to you tonight. And I think that's probably be good for everybody.
Like chills and
Yeah, good.
Okay.
Oh, good. Okay. So we start with fear. And what do you, when you think about fear, what does that card represent for you in Avalon? You've worked with Avalon, I'm sure, but I'll let you kind of talk a little bit about it.
No, I just started with this.
Oh, okay. So. Well, let me talk to you a little bit about that one then. So the fear card is anytime we get one of those signpost markers, it's a reminder for us to just really think about how are we responding to fear. Fear is going to happen in our lives. It's a legitimate thing that happens, basically. It happens. The question is, are we running from it or are we dancing with it and moving through it? In other words, and so the message here, I always say when I have fear show up in one of my readings, is I talk about the fact that this is telling you that you're afraid. There's a bit of fear of like what could be coming. And I would say, given the question, there's a fear about accepting your worthiness to get to the place of doing what you want to do. Like, what if, mm-hmm. What will other people say about you if you are successful? Mm-hmm. What will other people say about that in terms of your own self-worth? Like, well, I think sometimes we're not so much afraid of success. We're afraid of what other people will say about us when we're successful, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
True.
Yeah.
So let's see what the next deck, let's see what the next deck brings. And let's kind of start to weave the thread. Remember, when we're doing these council readings, you guys, we want to be weaving the thread between and see what's happening between these decks and what's their voice for us. Okay.
It is kind of like mom. A little more familiar. Happy, happy.
Okay, good. So the happy, happy card, and it's an upright as well, right?
Yeah.
So this is interesting because it's about joy and contentment. It's about, and it's also about kind of really trusting that you are worthy of having that kind of an experience too. I think in the frame of this question, happy, happy is telling you that you don't need to hold on to those shackles anymore. In fact, I love the way that Colette writes this in the book. She says, you're free from the shackles of longing and able to experience the liberation that comes from actually being happy moment to moment, for you have chosen happiness over yearning for it. So there's something about making a choice for you.
Sure.
And also this idea of creating that kind of experiencing that positive sense of all will be well. Does that resonate? Is that something that kind of you could maybe do a little work on?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of been the overflowing issue. But I think in the last year or 2 years, it's really shifting where, and especially through this, thank you so much. Like just really realizing it is a choice and I can stay stuck in that same repeating pattern and never ending story of being stuck and not being able to move past it, or I can choose the happiness. So,
there's another piece.
It's a lot about that worthiness. Worthiness.
I want to look at the prosperity message for happy, happy, given that we talked about calling a little bit. I think it's always good to bring that in. The very first line, this is a time to take pride in your accomplishments. So one of the things I would often recommend if I were, just do a little side coaching here for you. And we're talking about the council, Dana, but I would encourage you to do some journal that talks about all the things you're proud of up until now in your, in what's next, right? Like your career, your professional life. Given that you were talking about how do I go into that next part of my calling, what are the things that you have been proud of up until now? Because there's a message here from Happy Happy specifically that to be happy, yes, but also to take pride in what you've done. That shows up in the prosperity. And we're not meaning arrogance, but we're definitely meaning this really owning that sense of who we are and the service and the good that we've done in the world. Does that make sense?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, just make a list. Let's start journaling about it.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, you got one more deck there for us?
So it's... Hidden Realms is a little scary to me. I'll do Hidden Realms.
Yeah, good. It's a good deck.
It's not scary. It is kind of the ass kicker of them all.
I know. When I wrote it, I'm like, "Ooh, you're mean." Yeah, but I didn't think I mean. Like, I'm not that. I don't think like that. It's just it came out of me. I was like, "Ooh."
But I love it though because it's like
I have it down, baby.
And I like the visual, the characters or the archetypes that I'm not familiar with. So it's like always like, ooh, like, who am I going to get? What are they gonna
get? The other thing too, but back to happy, happy, there's a question we have to ask ourselves. Are we allowed to be happy?
Yeah.
Right? It's what have we tolerated? You know, so, and what have we, you know, I guess distracted ourselves with to not answer that question?
Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm. Could you say it one more time?
What have we distracted ourselves with to avoid answering that question?
Avoid answering that question. Yeah.
Like, I think you might have been distracted.
Am I allowed to be happy? Can I allow myself to be happy? Because we think there will be consequences.
So to break through that, maybe like write a letter to yourself or something, giving yourself permission maybe, or I don't know. That might help me, I think.
I love the activity. I've actually told people to write themselves a permission slip.
Exactly. Old
school, like go back to school, like grade school. Like I hereby give permission to Dana to do have the best possible experiences that she can have in her professional life or whatever you're
Thank
talking
you.
About. Right, like write that down and then frame it and put it somewhere where you can see it for a little while, just to remind yourself that you have that permission.
All in glitter.
Okay,
the last one. Oh gosh, lady. Oh, it's in protection too. Wait, how did I flip it? Yep, Lady of the Mirror and Protection.
So that's in Challenger. It's a Challenger.
Yeah.
And so it's like, are we afraid to look at ourselves? Mm. Right? Think about that. It's like when the Lady of the Mirror is about self-reflection, right? Because she's just by the picture. She's looking at herself in the mirror, right? And so when we don't see ourselves with clarity or we refuse to look, right? That's another piece of that. And Doug, what did I write in the guidebook?
Well, it's funny. I forgot this, Colette, but Lady of the Mirror is both ally and challenger. She's one of the cards, like the world, the cosmos, that is both. That you read it up.
You read it
both that way. And she's asking yourself to see yourself in the mirror made by the events in your life. So to really get clear about who you are and not to blame yourself at all, but to really be clear and to find within yourself, like, in some ways, oh, this is good. I love this, Colette. Find yourself within the web woven through your life, your relationships, your opportunities, the desires, your seeming failures, and your successes. Observe how you've responded to life's challenges, great and small, and be aware of what's familiar in the present. Release judgment, accept all things exactly as they are with love. So her message is to do honest inventory and accept with full radical acceptance, even the love, loving yourself, what's been your life up until now.
And not to be afraid to look.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's the other thing. It's like, am I allowed to be happy? Can I really look at myself? Am I really who I think I am? Or am I a fraud? That's the other, it's like, does the fraud squad wake up before you? You know, like, who am I to do this? Who are you not to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You ready for a goddess card? To go with your three that you have. All right, let's see what we come up with here. So I have Freya. Oh my gosh, can't make this
what
up.
What a great night this is.
Freya in alignment. Now, Freya is the goddess of radical acceptance. So first of all, let's just put that there in the conversation that we've just had for a few minutes, right? Like, obviously, she's been listening. Here's the message. Failure and disappointment are parts of life that few want to accept. Perhaps a job you wanted didn't come through, or a lover you thought was the one betrays your hopes or expectations, or maybe your kids are just acting out. Maybe a long-term creative project didn't yield the success you so dearly hoped for, or perhaps you were hurt by someone for no apparent reason. Goddess of war and radical acceptance, Freya says, have no fear. This is only temporary. Mm-hmm. Now is not the time to linger in perceptions of low self-worth. Hello.
Oh.
Your alignment task is to accept the truth wholeheartedly. Thank you, Lady in the Mirror, and see your situation exactly for what it is. She will bring you to a place of surrender where you have time to heal. Freya knows that you will emerge stronger and wiser. Only good will come out of this. Trust the goddesses. Freya is watching over you. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So let's just remind ourselves, right? When we do these counselor readings, I mean, we want to make sure we go through each card and we look back, kind of come up 30,000 feet and look at all of what's just been said. So we started with fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
that there's a space that there's a fear for you, afraid of maybe even being in that space of success, yeah. Right? A fear of what could be. And then you went into Woto and you got happy, but that you get to be happy. And not only that, you get to be proud of what you have done. Mm-hmm. Like that you have a birthright to that almost. Like that it's, yeah. You can do that. And then Hidden Realm said, look at yourself honestly, mm-hmm. with radical acceptance and love. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Freya says, let go of these disappointments and these failures that you are possibly still allowing to color and filter or censor your perception of your future. Does that make sense?
Yeah, perfectly. It's great. Thank you. It's really, really, really. It helps me in both the relationship and my career, like inspired life, everything.
Good.
So thank you so much. Really, I hope that helped everybody else too.
I
think this was very rich. Very rich. The whole night has been rich.
Yeah. Thank you, Dana.
Probably gonna just sit with this for a long time.
Percolate with it. On it. I think it. I love it. You said wonderful cordon, Charlene Scott, like cordon bleu. I typed that earlier. Yeah. Thank you, Dana. That was great. Yeah. And I love your earrings too. Somebody just said, I love your earrings. As soon as your light went, we all noticed your earrings. We have a very cool hip group here.
I'll see you all in San Diego.
All right.
Yay. Thanks, Anna. Thanks, Anna.
Okay, thank you.
This is very powerful.
Very good.
Now, go ahead.
You want to bring one more up before we go?
Well, I was going to bring Anna.
Time. Oh, bring Anna up.
Let's bring Anna up and give her view on things tonight.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
She's been very hands-on in the room, and I'd love to bring her up and watch her be in her pajamas. No, she goes, no. Let's not bring Anna up. She's texting me. Everybody is calling. Anna. Don't bring Anna up. Nope, she just said no.
Too late.
Wow.
I know, we can't hear you either.
That is hilarious. Is she there?
Yeah, she's here, but we can't hear her.
Okay. She's texting me. No. Oh, you look pretty with your hair pulled back. Never, ever.
We can't hear us. She can't hear us either. Okay.
Okay, we got to let you go.
Okay, we're good. She's, wow. I think.
Love you.
There it is.
There it is.
I just put on my pajamas. I said, they're not going to call me tonight.
I said, let's call Anna. And she goes, no, in my text.
No!
You're funny. You two need to get this coordinated.
I even said to my son, she's going to be finished any second. I'm going to put on pajamas now. And I did.
Oh my goodness. We just love this. We love this. We love this. So Anna, you've been really active in the rooms for the past, since we started. So
yes.
Any observations that you have? I know that I've been reading the posts. I have to tell you guys, this is the best group.
The posts are fantastic. Everybody is going in deep, and when they're posting, there's so much vulnerability there, because it is, it's hard to like put that down, mm-hmm. for everybody, you know, to share that part of yourselves. So I have been really just blown away. Some of your posts make me cry. I get so proud. Like, oh my gosh, look at these posts. Like, look at what you're doing. Yeah. So, and I'm not saying that because now I know there's some of you in the room that haven't posted yet. And now you're like, oh, now I'm intimidated. I don't want to post.
Yeah, no, yeah. Just
don't let that be what stops you. Just if you feel moved to post, just post. We're all in here together. We're all in here learning. And it's really been, I mean, I've had so much fun, you know, so...
So yeah. one of the things that I've noticed, and you've trained them well, Anna, and the mentors, the lead mentors, and the last in personal mastery, is that I'm noticing that people are able, and this is what I love about your shares, you're able to take a subject, say, here's what happened to me. Now here's, and I did the cards on it, and here's what I learned from it.
Yes.
And that's how we learn from you. That's how we learn from each other. Those posts that you're putting up there, if you structure it that way, and you say like, I've had an event. Then I had to do this. And then this event occurred afterwards. And here's how what I observed. this is what this course is about, right? And yes. And man, you guys are doing it.
Yes.
Right?
This has been just, the best posting has been going on.
Yeah.
And I think I even mentioned it in my last post that more than 50% of the posts are from the new Shared Wisdom students.
Mm-hmm. So shout out to you.
Yeah, you guys are, you're really understanding what it is that we're doing. And it's just, it's heartwarming. I'm like, oh my gosh, they've got it. And mm-hmm. there hasn't been anything that has been, you know, that I'm thinking, oh gosh, we have to address this or we should fix this. It's all been just amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And I really want you guys to just embrace that. Enjoy yourselves. That's what we're here for. Have fun. And any
questions?
Yeah. Oh my God. It's about
now
to.
We get fun. God. After this third module, then we get into the magic.
Right? Yeah. And then.
The fun.
Right. The third module, like I said, I posted that to you guys today. We're going to really go over it really well next week. Then we're mm-hmm. going to get you guys can start grouping up and you like my hair. Oh, Oshun, yes.
Oshun.
Somebody else said that today too. Yeah. Not today, the other day, Lisa, they were saying that I look like her on that card.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll take that. Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be, it's going to get wild and crazy next. So I'm so glad that you're all just jumping in there. And,
yeah.
And also what I'm really, really impressed with, and I'm going to give you guys another good shout out is no one is feeling the need to run to anyone's rescue or offer anyone's yeah. advice. Instead, you are all really empowering each other. And that is just a beautiful thank you. Yeah.
Yes. And that is something that we have worked so hard over these past three or four Oracle School seasons and go-arounds. And many of you have been here right from the beginning of the mm-hmm. baby. You can see that now. And I do think, Anna, if I could commend you for, you know, creating the culture with the lead mentors and the mentors over this, specifically this last segment. I know many of you are in here taking the course. So I want to mention that to you, that you did such a seamless job of training them so that they could really enhance and empower the students too. So really it's been a team effort, but it's showing up in this course, in this class with the students. Oh my God. You guys are doing so well, really. Yeah, no rescuing, which is exactly correct. And nobody expects to be rescued, which is really great.
Right, yeah. And you're allowing people to just share their experience without trying to offer them, because that's all they're doing. They're sharing their experience. They're sharing what they've learned from it, which has been just deep and amazing and beautiful. Yeah. And you're all doing great. And you're making me proud.
Yes, totally. I love it. I love it. Thank you, Anna. You can go if you'd like to remain with us as we do another closing meditation.
Yes. May.
Okay, good. You don't have to go to bed yet.
No, I'm up till 9.
Doug, do you have any final words of wisdom for everybody? And
no, I think just a reminder again, this is a good week as we've done. You're getting comfortable with the different decks. You're getting to know them. You're getting to experience them. You're getting to find these threads that weave through. And by the way, I just want to really acknowledge that the thread that we weave when we pull cards from different decks is helping us when we do a reading even with the same deck. We do share wisdom with one deck. So what you got with your animal spirit there, Colette?
Yeah, so I asked for every single person tonight on this call and those of you who are watching it after in the replay, what do we all need to know to really, really function in good self-care? Know your worth.
Yeah, good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Know your worth. You are worthy, right? This is such a key card for every single person. We talked about that earlier when we started the call tonight. It's the idea that you are worthy. I love everybody's going, YCMTSU. Right. And I think that this is such a beautiful way to end this. And remember that worth, only you can know that for you. Only you can claim that for yourself. Only you can decide that for yourself. And only you can be brave enough to express that. And so I really believe everybody here in Shared Wisdom has this opportunity. And we all need to remember that we are born worthy. right? We don't have to earn it. We don't have to pretend it. It's there, right? We're all born. So let's do a closing meditation. Let's really relax into this one. We're going to start again. I love this feeling of our feet, right? So we get our feet to be very, very heavy. But this time, when you close your eyes, I want you to imagine that you're sitting on a very smooth, mossy stone. All of us are in a circle together at the top of a crystal mountain. And we're high above the earth in the very sacred place where we are brought to share our magic with the world. But we're really plugging in here. So imagine that this crystal mountain is below our feet and we are really letting those feet of ours sink into this ground and connect with it. It's really, really strong and amazing, happy, kind, compassionate, loving, grateful energy that's coming up from this living crystal, this conscious earth. And just breathe that in. And just really tune into, I am worthy. I belong here. I am worthy. I belong. The light within me creates miracles, and what I do matters. My being here matters. I matter. The I am that resides in me matters. And just allow yourself to fill up with the I am presence. I am. Filling yourself with source. The energy of source, the consciousness of source. Breathing it in. Breathing it in. Breathing it in. Now imagine we're all holding hands. And we're just squeezing each other's hand, knowing that we really genuinely wish for the best for each person here. And imagining and gifting each one with the vision for everyone in this circle that you achieve your unique, authentic, inspired life in ways so much greater than you could ever imagine. So beautiful. So meaningful. Now I want you to rub your hands together like this. And then start making a chi ball. Let's make a little ball. And imagine that light is pushing against your hands. Oh my gosh, I can totally feel that. Isn't that wild? Do you feel that? It's just like feeling this thing that's like growing. And it's really pushing against your hands. Let it just push against your hands. Oh my God. All this life force energy. And imagine that it's turning pink, most beautiful pale pink, that kind of blush pink that's my favorite color, mixed up with magenta and sparkly lights. And in it is your hopes and dreams and good wishes for everyone else in the circle. So let's blow it. Yay.
Yay.
That was fun. I'm never tired of when the ball pushes my hands apart. Right? Wait a minute, this is real.
Yeah.
We're doing this together, right. Everybody. We're in this together. Good night, everyone. We love you all.
We love you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Good night.
Bye, everybody. Good night. Bye. Good night, Anna. Night, Doug. I'll talk to you guys.
Good night.
Bye. Good night, everybody.
Bye. Bye.